Lord Jesus Christ.
Glory to him forever.
Thanks for joining us behind our kitchen table. I am really sorry that last week we skipped recording. I was sick again with the same sickness I had 4 weeks ago and just knocked me out. And this past week did not allow us to somehow catch up with another recording, so I'm sorry, but we are back at it, and here we are.
Okay.
Would you like to start reading the first paragraph?
Sure.
We are on the page 38. It's the second paragraph from the top.
The frequent communion of the holy mysteries of Christ, one should add as frequently as possible, joins his new member to the Lord in the most lively and active way through his most pure body and blood. It sanctifies him, gives him peace within himself, and makes him inaccessible to the dark powers. People who follow this advice notice that on the day when a child is given communion, he is immersed in a deep calm without the powerful movements of all of his natural needs, even those which are most powerfully felt in children. Sometimes the child is filled with joy and a playfulness of spirit in which he is ready to embrace everyone as his own.
So, beautiful words that St. Theophilus gives us. And he's touching on something that is very important and quite forgotten in today's age, because from what I can see and experience, there is this kind of movement that it's enough to come on Sundays, divine liturgies, and expect that some miracle will happen. Of course it will, it's Eucharist. But St. Theophilus here is touching and teaching people to come more often for communion. And we have to understand that in the past, people would come for communion maybe four times a year, rather than every Sunday or every liturgy, because, you know, they knew they had conscience, they knew they sinned, and they knew that they were unworthy. So usually what would happen is, before they decided that they are going to go for communion, usually for a Pascha or Christmas or whatever, like the home feast, they like, for example, at our parish would be St. John Chrysostom Parish, November 17th, I think. People would come day before for communion, for confession. They would confess, and they would, in a way, keep a fast until the next morning when they would receive communion.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, even though it is good practice for sharpening the conscience, this practice strip away the gift that St. Theophilus is telling here, are telling us, that in a way this frequent communion gives something special, not just to kids, but also to adults. And he's, at least how I'm taking it, asking to really consider making kids going to communion more often.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I think in today's age, more than anything, it's important to show the kids that this is life, that this is life-giving. And it's not enough just to come on Sunday. And yes, sure, I'm a little bit connected the dots with Sundays, and probably one of the main issues that our church is facing now, that people are not used to coming more often than just Sunday. But I think it's important for us to really realize what Eucharist is and how beautiful it can work in our lives if we partake of it with a beautiful heart. And he says that when children are given communion in the morning, they are deep, calm the whole day without some kind of a rushness or craziness. Except me on self.
I may have a little bit of a different opinion on that. No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And one thought that comes to mind with that too, this is about receiving the Eucharist, but also about what you were just talking about, which is coming a little bit more often for liturgy and to receive this sacrament. And I mean, I'll say last night for me, it is truly a struggle when you have little kids to take them to liturgy late, especially if there's an evening liturgy or something. And yesterday for me was a prime example. It was a hard liturgy with two of those little babies. It was a hard day.
True.
Okay. But there's no way for me to understand the incredible blessings that come from the sacrifice and the tiredness of those two. And
your tiredness.
Well, and mine doesn't matter. I'm okay with that. Well, but for them to be there, and they're for sure receiving some kind of grace just by being there.
Sure.
And also receiving the Eucharist. Yeah. And maybe the fussiness coming around at 7:45 when liturgy's about to be over, or, you know, on the way home they're both asleep. Maybe that's really, really hard to do and get through for mom and dad, but ultimately it's a huge blessing, and the benefits way outweigh the struggle. And you know, who knows, in a year or two you won't even know that struggle anymore if you continue to take your kids, you know, for an evening liturgy or something, even just once a week if it's something like that. But well, so that's my thought. I'm relating this because yesterday for me was one of the hardest days that I've had with those two.
Sure.
But I know that, and I thank God for the opportunity to give them, allow them to receive that sacrament, and even myself, because when times are like that and I'm frustrated and sweating, literally I was actually sweating from sprinting up the aisles, catching Miran because he likes to run away from me and whatever. I know that I'm thankful that at the end of that I am, even though I feel like I'm unworthy because I am very irritated and annoyed at the end of liturgy and distracted through the entire liturgy. Even though that's happening, I'm still counting on God's grace that I am receiving worthily.
True. And you are.
But also that I'm receiving Christ, and that is going to just bring some kind of grace and blessing.
Yeah.
And so it's, if any of you out there are struggling with those thoughts, know that you're not alone.
Sure. And well, you know, I have to say that many times, you know, parents are against, because all our kids will misbehave. So what? You know, you let them watch TV till 9, 10 o'clock and at home, and you're okay with it. But when it comes to church, to go to 7 to 8 or whatever your parish times are, it's a struggle. Well, I think it's just laziness. I'm not trying to say it this way, but what are we trying to show the kids?
Right.
And
well, it doesn't.
Well, no, but I do want to say is that a lot of this older generation is brokenhearted. Mm-hmm. That, well, where are their kids? And you can't preach it because they know that you know that you know that they know, I guess. You know, and that something went wrong in the formation of the kids. And, well, this is exactly it. If we show kids that receiving Eucharist, even on weekdays, feast days, or whatever it is very important. And if you show them that this is the most important thing in our life.
And normal.
And normal, then it will be imprinted on their heart. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was ordained deacon, I was working for for a company where Sarah and I worked, and I finished at 5:30, rushed home, didn't eat because it was already within an hour, showered, went to church, and I remember once that it was a horrible day at work. We were so busy. I was so tired, and I was crying on my way to church, like, why? You know, why I can't just stay home and just relax? It's been a busy day. And then, you know, I was sitting in the pew and you came with me, Ron. I was like, that's why. You know, that sacrifice, that this tiredness, I'm going to use, that he might have just that much easier life. Easier spiritual life than, you know, than if I didn't come. So it's difficult, and I'm not trying to push, but really, when children are like sponges, they take everything in, and use this opportunity to your advantage. And I mean, this is talking to both of us too.
And we don't even know the advantages, the depth of mercy that comes from the sacrament.
We will never know.
No, it's incomprehensible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, a huge reason why we should, because only God knows what this could give.
Yeah.
It is life-giving.
Okay. Would you like to read another paragraph?
Sure. Often Holy Communion is accompanied also by miracles. St. Andrew of Crete in his childhood did not speak for a long time, but when his grieved parents turned to prayer and the reception of grace during the time of communion, the Lord, by his grace, loosed the bonds of his tongue, which afterwards gave the church to drink of torrents of eloquence and wisdom. One doctor, from his own observation, testifies that for the most part, when there are illnesses in children, the children should be taken to Holy Communion, and very rarely does he have need to use later any kind of medical help.
Beautiful. And this another beautiful paragraph where, I don't know if our readers or listeners are not familiar with the St. Andrew of Crete and his service that is done on during Great Lent. He wrote beautiful verses on repentance, and we pray this service every Lent, and it's in a way kind of like part of our identity. So it's beautiful to see that this kid who could not and did not want to speak was healed by the prayers and communion of his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the last paragraph or last sentence, the doctor, from his own observation, testifies that for the most part, when there are illnesses in children, the children should be taken to Holy Communion. He's saying this because this is a normal thing when somebody is going to to hospital. You know, this is another kind of annoying thing that, you know, you as a priest, you go about your day not knowing anything, and then out of nowhere somebody calls you like, hey, by the way, this guy is almost dying.
But he's been in the hospital for 3 weeks.
But they've been there for 3 weeks. You know, why are you not calling me when he's just getting there?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this Eucharist can ease his pain while he's dying, or
mm-hmm.
or whatever. You know, we forget about what is the most important thing for our body. It's not medicine. It's not food. It's really Eucharist, which is life-giving, which gives us strength to pray, strength to do very deep confession, and and any other sacramental things that we should be part of. Mm-hmm. It solidifies our life. So that's why it's beautiful that he is saying it that to children, when they are sick, take them to the priest so they are anointed with holy oil, and then they can receive communion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and one thing that you were recently explaining to someone is that in the Roman Catholic tradition, getting like an anointing is a lot of times getting last rites.
Right.
Like you were dying, this is your last, you know, this is your final anointing. Mm-hmm. But in our Eastern tradition, the anointing of the sick is way more frequent than that if requested to your priest.
Yeah.
You know, I've had anointings before surgeries or mm-hmm. I and my family have had anointings if we're very sick and cannot shake what we have, and you know, just things like that. And I know we're not talking about anointing here, but I think just the recognition of the power of the holy mysteries.
Yeah, and well, look, Eucharist is always like this, like a period. You do some kind of a mystery, like holy anointing. At the end, you receive communion.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're especially hospital, and when you see a priest, then this is the setup. You pray first, you anoint the sick for the healing of soul and body, and then you give them communion.
Mm-hmm.
No, and of course you hear the confession if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's let us not forget that, and keep these words from Saint Theophan to our hearts, that when we suspect that there is a sickness,
mm-hmm.
even during the week when kid is sick,
yeah.
bring them to communion.
Yeah.
You know, you never know what beautiful thing can happen.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. Last paragraph. This one's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
A great influence is exercised on the child by frequently taking him to church, by having him kiss the Holy Cross, the Gospel, the icons, and by covering him with the veils. Likewise, at home, frequently placing him under the icons, frequently signing him with a sign of the cross, sprinkling him with holy water, the burning of incense, making the sign of the cross over his cradle, his food, and everything connected with him, the blessing of a priest, the bringing into the house of icons from church, the service of malevens, and in general, everything from the church, in a wondrous way, warms and nourishes the life of grace in the child and is always the most safe and an impenetrable protection against the attacks of the invisible dark powers, who everywhere are ready to penetrate into the developing soul so as to infect it by their activity. Well, that is one long sentence. First of all,
it reminds me of that movie. Well, blah, 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 blah. But actually, this Saint Theophan makes sense.
Oh my god! Yeah, it's just a very long sentence, but I don't even know what to say about this. It's exactly what should be done.
Yeah.
There are things that I am sad that I didn't do more of with both of our babies.
For example?
Like, there's never too much blessing or giving, like, making the sign of the cross over them or over their crib or over their food. You know,
mm-hmm.
we pray before we eat and things like that. And Amelia's big enough now that she's eating real food with us and we pray and... but even when she was a little baby, I wish I would have done it more, crossed her myself. And, you know, thank God that you're a priest and you make the sign of the cross. You know, you bless them every single night and every single day. And, but to think of all of the things that could be done to just bring this protection and grace and,
mm-hmm.
holiness to them at all times. Man,
yeah.
So many missed opportunities.
I know.
No, it is difficult because, like with food, you know, mm-hmm. it's now we are in a rhythm where we pray and we say prayers. Miron claps.
Folds
his hands together. Well, yeah, folds his hands together, and he won't eat until we finish praying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm already given a blessing, he already is eating. So I mean, you can just tell that he's already done and over with. But he knows that we don't eat until we pray,
mm-hmm.
and if he sees that we are about to pray, he will actually put the food down and
yeah.
pray. And mm-hmm. then the most beautiful thing was when we were at...
We said it last time.
With where?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. But I want to say this, that this paragraph really summarizes what a person's or family's lifestyle and home should be.
Mm-hmm.
When I spoke last Sunday about the importance of icon corners in the homes.
Yeah.
And truly... I think that even we have missed the opportunity to create icon corner in our living room.
Yes, okay, fine, but when you look around our house, you can't look anywhere without seeing an icon. I'm not kidding. It's amazing. Little Miron is looking around and he knows that all of these people are his friends. He waves to the Theotokos like
yeah.
randomly.
Yeah.
And but okay, I'm sorry. We did miss the opportunity, but they're everywhere.
I know. But as I preached, it should be the most used room in our house.
Yeah.
And there is a reason for it, and exactly what you said. There are so many missed opportunities where you forget. You know, we forget about God. It's one of the sins that we need to keep in our when we go to confessions, that we forget about God all the time. But what I'm trying to say is that through the prayer corner, this faith comes.
Yeah.
Because when children see, when children are acquired with the habit of the parents, so if they see their parents pray in the morning,
mm-hmm.
then this is the natural thing for the kids.
Yeah.
And when they grow up and they are 18, you know, and this formation should not stop until they are out of the house, really, you know. But so when they see this is a formation, and this is where you go greet your saints, greet the Theotokos, greet Christ,
mm-hmm.
Patron saint, home. Everybody should have their home patron saint in their prayer room.
Mm-hmm.
Also, holy water.
Who is our patron saint?
Well, we have two. Well, we have three.
Who? Miron, Sarah.
Well, we
Julia,
have.
Or I.
Well, we have our patrons. So Miron.
Okay.
Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Miron Theophan and
Emilia
Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
And then our church patron saints are Saint John Chrysostom.
Mm-hmm.
St. John Baptist,
mm-hmm.
and of course, since we come from the same parish, we have St. Nicholas.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so
I didn't know if we had a specific one, but okay,
well,
I understand now.
We do, I mean,
sure.
We do. So, and as I said, like last Sunday, every morning and evening should be this intention, St. John Chrysostom, protect my parish, make it God-pleasing, make it grow so we can share the faith with the world, which is rotting away,
mm-hmm.
and that's enough to kind of annoy the saint. Or all right, I'll give you the blessing because I'm tired of hearing you. But from this corner, everything else sprouts.
Yeah.
You start with in front of prayer corner. You finish with the kids in the prayer corner. We have it set up that both of our kids have their own icons on their wall,
mm-hmm.
and well,
in their rooms.
And well, we changed that we are going to Emilia's room to pray,
mm-hmm.
because Miron doesn't want to go first to go to bed. It has to be Emilia. So we pray in her room. So we evening prayers with them. We put them to bed. We do our what we need to do. Clean up the toys or whatever, and then both you and I go to the family prayer room and prayer corner, and we pray. But I wanted to say something else. Also, I remember one of my good friends when they were doing evening before they went. All the kids were going to bed. They would hold an icon of. They chose a patron saint that would protect their whole family.
Of the week or something. I think.
Was it of the week?
Yeah, I think that they prayed to a different saint every week or something like that.
No, because they only had one. It doesn't matter.
Okay, sorry. Maybe I'm thinking about a different friend.
Maybe somebody else. But each kid, every day of the week had different. They had the same icon, but they were holding it.
Aww.
And they were leading the prayers.
That's nice.
Okay, so again, make the prayer corner not flexible, but
like interactive.
Interactive. Mm. That, you know, let kids hold the icons.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. If they drop it and there's a chip on the paint, whatever, you know.
Yeah. Well, another thing that you know, our life is a little bit interesting because for many reasons, but because you're a priest and we live at a church, okay? So how it's saying here, frequently taking him to church, have him kiss the Holy Cross, the gospel, the icons, covering him with the veils, that's an easy thing for us to do because you just walk through a door and you're there to do it.
Yeah.
But families who don't have that opportunity to just walk through a door and they're in a church, you know, I would find it really hard to believe that a priest would not be just overjoyed to have a mom and dad with children and say, can...
It's a good thought. But we have to understand that the sanctity of the altar.
Well, I'm not saying to go behind the altar, but for the priest to be able to be present and say and like introduce these things to the children.
Oh, in that way,
do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, not
so
that
let
you,
you
can.
Talking.
That's okay. Not to just run willy nilly through the church, but just to for the priest to be like an available person,
mm-hmm.
to say to introduce to the children and to allow them to kiss the icons, and even if. To take them around the altar to see what it is back there.
Sure.
But not, I mean, not to them, for them to just run around.
Yeah, don't just go willy-nilly, go kiss the gospel book and cross on the altar.
Right, no. Yes, but with the help of the priest.
Well, sure. It's nice. I think after a while it would get very tiresome because, well, you have other responsibilities after liturgy.
Sure.
You know, but I think what can be done, which can be done every single day,
mm-hmm.
every single day, is everybody has access to gospel book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our Byzantine Catholic Press is printing them. Everybody can go and buy a cross,
mm-hmm.
and why can't that be the central focus of their prayer room?
Sure.
And kiss and help father, the head of the household, read the gospel of the day,
mm-hmm.
for the whole family.
Sure.
And maybe mother can read
the epistle.
You know, it's like I'm getting it from somebody. And have it that way, and have kids kiss the gospel book and the cross that is laying next to the gospel book,
sure.
The cross, and this is then it's becoming a mini altar,
right?
And why not?
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
And
yeah.
Why not? And I think that's much better than what you suggested. I think it's important for a priest to explain it,
sure.
in the parish.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a beautiful interaction for the kids,
mm-hmm.
But I don't think it would go well week to week base.
Yeah, well, you know better than I did. I do anyhow.
Oh, I know. Oh, I'm a lazy priest. Oh, come on, not again.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. But, you know.
Well, okay, this is we need to go back to what he's saying, though.
Well, I know. Well, I mean, this is what he's saying.
Yeah.
And so don't be afraid to build your little church in your homes.
Mm-hmm.
And look, Sarah and I, yes, we are blessed that we have church behind one door, really. It's a huge blessing. But the importance that we are trying to teach Miron and Emilia is, well, they, for sure, Emilia, she's not going to be a priest.
Yeah.
And, well, maybe she will marry a priest, maybe not. Who knows?
You told me she's going to the monastery.
Well, she's going to the monastery. Marrying a seminarian would be second best.
Nothing else.
You're the worst.
And Miron, if he doesn't go to seminary, if he chooses that not to go through this life, then I want him to know that this home that he's growing up, he should have a prayer room,
mm-hmm.
and gospel and cross and everything that is necessary to have a... Look, everything that we do should be for our salvation. If we create the prayer room and we use it more often, then we are just growing closer to God.
Yep, absolutely.
You know?
And also, I'm saying this with the most stress. We don't live some kind of fairy tale life over here. what we do on a daily basis is possible and attainable in any person's life. It may be easier for us because we do live a little bit differently than some families or most families, but it is just like if either of us were to say that it was an easy or we went to this with no struggle, it would be a lie.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's and even it's made easier for us because we're here. You know, but it is for our salvation at all times, and that's why we make the sacrifice.
Yeah.
And it's possible to do.
Yeah. And look, and well, if somebody can't do the extensive prayers or just very simple prayers with kids because they have to run, and you and I know that life.
Yeah.
You know, but mm-hmm. Then have the evening be the extensive one.
Well, and also I was reading your homily for tomorrow. And
don't spill the beans.
Or for today. For Sunday. Sorry.
Okay, so we're recording day before it's gone.
Sorry.
Spill the beans.
My bad. So anyhow, I was reading his homily, and this is way off topic, but anyhow, we're almost done.
Sorry. I don't even know what I said.
Bear with us. No, it's about praying the Jesus prayer.
Oh, yeah.
And if you can't just find yourself in prayer at night or in the morning for any period of time, just pray the Jesus prayer through the day. Like you were saying, when you're pumping gas or driving or eating or working changing diapers or cooking, whatever, say the Jesus prayer. Find God in your life at all times. It's possible to do.
It's important.
Oy, okay, sorry.
No.
Back on topic.
well, all these things, like praying the Jesus prayer, many times I hear you in the kitchen with kids praying Jesus prayer. There is no theology, there is no catechism, there is no lecture that is more powerful than them hearing you pray the Jesus prayer, you know? It's I call it the street smart practice of Christian life. Yeah. Anyways, I think we went overboard a little bit.
That's okay. One thing I want to say too, really quick, is that like it's saying here, service of Malevins and generally everything from the church,
mm-hmm.
it nourishes the life and it creates an impenetrable protection,
mm-hmm.
but. Man, oh man, simple services to do too.
Yeah.
If, and yeah, here's me telling you again to annoy your priest, But if you don't know how to pray of 11, ask.
Yeah.
Okay? It's simple. And it takes 15 minutes. You know, it's... You and I do it from time to time. Mm-hmm. And...
Govend or Panahida. Panahida.
For the Dormition Fast, right?
For the... What is the service called?
Paraclesis.
Paraclesis. My goodness.
Man, oh man, I'm good.
You're good. No, but that service is prayed every single day for 14 days.
Yeah, it is.
It's 45 minutes, but it's beautiful service.
Well, but even if you don't have 45 minutes, there are still some things that you can do together as husband and wife or by yourself or with your family that can add a little extra dimension to prayer.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit out of the ordinary. And, you know, the take that extra time where you would just flop yourself down on the couch and watch TV for 30 minutes and use half that time to pray.
Yeah. And you're right. Sometimes when we pray the same prayers over and over again, especially from prayer books, like publican prayer books, you...
I like zone out sometimes.
Well, you zone out because you get so used to them.
Of course. It's horrible.
And sometimes it's just good to, like, shock the system and just... say a different prayer.
Yeah.
And even smaller or shorter prayer may be more beneficial than just rambling on.
Well, yes.
But talk to your spiritual father about all of these things.
Yeah.
You know. We are just giving suggestions that what can be a plus.
But all of this prayer and all of the sacrifice on the parents' part is granting beautiful blessings and beautiful grace on your babies.
Yeah. Yep. And one more thing. I want to say one more thing.
Last thing.
Right now we are in the season of Lent, Great Lent. There's a beautiful prayer from Saint Ephrem the Syrian, O Lord, Master of my life. This is the best way to show your kids that it is okay to humble yourself and make a prostration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that to break the ego of our own body and
not be embarrassed about people, what they're going to think about you at church.
Exactly. Make a prostration. It's going and at home, show them how it's done.
Yeah, Miran's doing like a little butt in the air, a little butt in the air wiggle and. Yeah. It makes me laugh, but
so
he's learning.
Look, every practice that you know, practice it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Seriously, we're done.
You're done. Through the prayers of the Holy Fathers, the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us. Saint Theophan, intercede for us and bless us with your wisdom. Amen.